In Hanya Yanakihara's ambitious novel, three interconnected stories span different versions of America across three centuries, each exploring the elusive nature of paradise. The narrative begins in an alternative 1893, where the northeastern states formed the Free States, a nation that permits same-sex marriage yet maintains rigid class hierarchies. It then shifts to 1950s Hawaii, where a failed utopian community becomes the setting for a father's painful recollections. Finally, we're thrust into a dystopian 2093 America, ravaged by pandemics and authoritarian control. Throughout these disparate worlds, characters named David, Edward, and Charles appear in different incarnations, suggesting that certain human struggles for belonging, for love, for freedom transcend time and circumstance. The Washington Square Mansion in New York serves as an architectural anchor, evolving from symbol of privilege to remnant of a vanished world, as the definition of paradise itself transforms across generations. In 1893's alternative America, David Bingham lives in a magnificent Washington Square mansion with his grandfather, surrounded by luxury that functions as a gilded cage, constrained by family expectations and his history of nervous trouble. The Binghams represent foundational power in Free State society, their history displayed in bank murals that omit the exploitation underlying their wealth. Their motto, civility, humility, humanity, contrasts ironically with the suffering in the colonies that enables their luxuries. David's world transforms when he meets Edward Bishop, the charismatic music teacher at the Bingham-supported orphanage. Their first encounter is electric. Edward brings a maudlin song to vibrant life, his fingers dancing across piano keys with passion. Edward's worn books and peeling trunk reveal a poverty that both shocks and attracts David, like a window into another world. Though their relationship becomes physical, the emotional intimacy truly transforms David. For the first time, he experiences the reckless, wild intensity of affection. Having always felt like an actor without knowing his lines, David feels profound relief that there was nothing wrong with him after all. He had simply needed to find the person who would awaken his capacity for pleasure. As David's relationship with Edward deepens, his arranged courtship with Charles continues. Charles represents the safety his grandfather values. During intimate moments with Charles, David punishes himself, measuring Charles against Edward and finding him wanting, despite Charles's declarations of love. The narrative shifts when David's grandfather reveals he's intercepted Edward's letters and presents an investigation report. Edward is exposed as a con artist who seduces wealthy men for financial gain, allegedly planning to use David's money for a business in California. Despite this evidence, David declares, "I do not believe it." His grandfather reminds him of his previous heartbreak with Andrew, which led to months of confinement. When confronted, Edward dismisses the accusations, calling David his poor innocent and offering to forego marriage to prove his intentions aren't financial. Throughout To Paradise, characters believe they're exercising free will while their choices are limited by external forces. David's rejection of his inheritance seems like self-determination, yet may be Edward's manipulation. In a painful final encounter, David chooses love over his grandfather's plea, "I can still keep you safe," walking away as his grandfather cries out in anguish. The novel's second book transports us to 1950s Hawaii, following David Bingham's apparent descendant. A blind, institutionalized father narrates to his absent son Kawika, Hawaiian for David, recounting their life at Lipo Waunahele, Forest of the Wau Trees, a failed utopian community where Edward had promised freedom from interference in raising his son. Through fragmented memories, we learn of the father's complex Hawaiian heritage. His mother's nobility claims faced constant challenges, fueling her obsession with Kaika Mahine Ku Hawaii, the Daughters, a society for those with noble lineage. Her meticulous documentation of genealogies to defend her status deeply influenced her son's later retreat from society. The father met Edward at university, united by their disillusionment with modern Hawaiian society. they created Lipo Wau Nahele as a sanctuary for pre-contact Hawaiian values and traditional knowledge. Yet their paradise ultimately collapsed as isolation bred paranoia and leadership conflicts emerged, leaving the father still bound by generational trauma despite his quest for independence. The final book depicts dystopian 2093 America, ravaged by pandemics and authoritarian rule. Charlie, a scientist in Zone 8, formerly Manhattan, lives under constant surveillance with state-arranged relationships. Through her perspective and letters from her grandfather Charles, we witness America's gradual fall into tyranny. Charlie's existence is strictly controlled, assigned work, housing, and a loveless arranged marriage. After discovering notes suggesting her husband's secret relationship, she begins questioning her reality. An encounter with David, who simply asks her name, no one has asked her name out of genuine interest in years, awakens her to suppressed possibilities. Letters reveal America's incremental collapse. Freedoms disappear, infrastructure is dismantled, and the signs of oppression become normalized. Her grandfather, Charles, who helped create this system before recognizing its horrors, confesses that America was not for everyone, that it was not for people like me or people like you, that America is a country with sin at its heart. In Charlie's regulated world, resistance exists in tiny decisions. When to take medications, which memories to preserve, small defiances that become powerful assertions of humanity. When David abandons his prestigious position, Kawika leaves Lipo Wau Nahele, and Charlie escapes surveillance, they're asserting fundamental human resistance against predetermined narratives. The novel suggests that while complete freedom remains impossible, constrained by genetics, history, and society, the very act of striving for autonomy defines our humanity. In Charlie's dystopian future, resistance exists in microscopic decisions, choosing when to take medications or which memories to preserve. These small defiances become powerful assertions of humanity in a world designed to eliminate individual agency. The novel reveals how the search for paradise, whether through personal freedom, love, or belonging, proves more transformative than any destination. What endures is humanity's capacity for meaningful connections despite imperfections. David's relationship with Edward transcends class. The fractured father-son bond demonstrates love's resilience, and Charlie's unexpected connection with David shows how authentic relationships flourish in unlikely circumstances. To Paradise ultimately asks whether paradise exists as a place, an internal state, or merely an aspirational concept. David's contemplation in the novel's opening resonates throughout. Paradise lies not in my grandfather's world, but somewhere ahead, a place I must be brave enough to seek. This suggests paradise might exist not in perfection, but in the courage to pursue it. The journey itself, risking security for possibility, choosing love over safety, imagining better worlds despite trauma, may be our closest approach to paradise. Characters named David, Edward, and Charles reappear in different incarnations across disparate worlds, suggesting certain human struggles transcend time. The Washington Square Mansion transforms from a symbol of privilege to a remnant of a vanished world as the definition of paradise evolves across generations. These relationships, despite their uncertainty, provide fleeting glimpses of paradise within our imperfect world.